Welcome to the Drive Time News Blast. 30 minutes, 45 for patrons. News of the day from a perspective of truth, liberty, and justice. This is Monica Perez.
And I'm Brad Binkley.
Our top story, Joe Biden coming down with executive orders and other directives to respond to what CNN so completely, tellingly, propagandistically says. They literally start the article by saying, facing pressure to act after a recent spate of high-profile mass shootings, President Joe Biden unveiled a package of moves Thursday that seeks to address the scourge of gun violence. He deems it a blemish on the nation. So the whole thing straight out of the gate on CNN obviously is all propaganda, but there are many details to this that really trigger me. I do not think they released the actual executive orders yet. I will say that the two big focuses, and it seems to me what they do is just chip away, chip away, chip away at the Second Amendment. And what they're focusing on here is this idea of the ghost gun, which is an expression I had never heard before. I assume that it's meant to take aim at 3D printed guns. That is something that Merrick Garland, the attorney general, is going to address specifically, the 3D printed guns. But the ghost guns are self-assembled firearms, often put together with parts sold online. Therefore, they do not have serial numbers. Parts do not require a background check. Some ghost guns can be fabricated in as little as 30 minutes. I mean, thank God if you're like a victim of domestic violence and have been stuck behind a waiting law. But I guess you can't really get stuff online that fast. So they also are looking at the DOJ, Department of Justice, is meant to consider publishing model red flag laws. And those are tantamount to like a federal law because they have these associations of governors and legislators that coordinate legislation across the country. So that to me is a flag that there's a federal approach to this, obviously.
That reminds me of what the guy was saying in the Rockfin video about the UN. We created all the laws at the UN so you guys can just follow these laws.
Absolutely. That's what model laws are for. So I never like those. That's why I paid so much attention when Obama had the task force for 21st century policing. I was like, they are getting ready to write model laws. And model laws are often adopted. And I'll tell you the kind of person they're adopted by. So, I'll tell you in a second, this is very important, who Biden tapped as head of the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. There hasn't been an official head in years. This guy's going to be the new head. Let me just finish what Biden was saying. The things that really triggered me about what he was saying is he said, this is a public health crisis. Now, it's really important that he's using those expressions, because that's the way the executive branch gets away with violating the balance of powers, the checks and balances. Legislators are supposed to legislate. If they call it a regulation, like in New York, they couldn't get smoking banned from bars. So Bloomberg and Giuliani both kind of used health regulations to get it to circumvent the will of the people. That's very important. And of course, the COVID thing has got everybody on board to completely putting themselves under house arrest for a year at the cry that is contradicted. The facts are contradicted by the policy when it comes to actually the health impact. Still, people will just defer 100% to that. He said a couple of things that really made me nutso. Two more things. He said, no amendment to the Constitution is obsolete. From the very beginning, you couldn't own any weapon you wanted to own. From the very beginning, the Second Amendment existed. Certain people weren't allowed to have weapons. So the idea is just bizarre to suggest that some of the things we're recommending are contrary to the Constitution. So I fact-checked that a little bit because I thought, is he suggesting that there were federal laws against certain weapons And it, the way he said it, so he had said before that you weren't allowed to own a cannon during Revolutionary War time, something like that, which of course cannot be true. How the hell else did we win? You know, unless the ban was from the British. And it was fact checked that that was absolutely not true. And that even if there were bans on cannons, it would have to have had been at the state level. And many of the states didn't even have constitutions at that point. It is possible that certain people weren't allowed to have weapons. I couldn't find any example of that, but I guess it is possible that, like Benedict Arnold, whatever. But I would assume that it was, well, I'm not going to make any assumptions, but I cannot see what he's talking about. And just to double check about what the Second Amendment actually says, it says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, I personally think that this actually makes puts an onus. If there's anything in the Bill of Rights that I can think of off the top of my head that actually creates a positive obligation, it would be this reference to the militia, that we absolutely should have militias in the state because they are necessary to free states. But people get caught up in that because they think what I'm saying is you should only have a gun if you're in a militia. Absolutely not. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I don't know what the hell Biden is talking about. I mean, obviously, it's just propaganda. But the thing, the absolute kicker with what Biden was saying is this. He said, this is freaking hilarious. This was, I think, in the CNN article. I'll put it, give it to you for the show notes. The only industry in America, a $1 billion industry that can't be sued, he said. Imagine how different it would be if the same exemption had been available to tobacco companies. Let me ask you, Binkley.
Yeah.
Can you think of a product or industry that is exempt from liability besides tobacco and firearms?
Vaccine industry?
Pretty much. I mean, this was, I looked and I was like, could this article be 10 years old? Because no one in their right mind could possibly suggest that it's the only industry that is free from liability. And it's not free from liability. This is not free from liability. That you can, if a gun was shoddily manufactured, fraudulently advertised, and backfired to the point where it killed you because they made false representations, you can bet your butt that you can sue the firearm company. But if a vaccine does that, you may not sue them. If a vaccine does the equivalent of that, you may not sue them. They are free from genuine tort, from negligence, all that stuff. You're not allowed to sue them for that. So that I call complete and utter BS on that.
But and they just put the hypocrisy right out there in front of you. Like people don't see outside their logic proof compartments. We hear about the vaccine stuff all the time about how they're not you can't sue them because of this. And then we're here talking about this and it's like it's on another planet.
I made the mistake of looking at CNN, which I never do. And my guess is the people who are targeted by CNN actually never do hear anything outside of that narrative.
That's a good point.
But I will say, like, to the extent that he's talking about the Constitution, the Department of Justice and the FBI are completely outside the Constitution, and they are meant to be. The reason they were established was to force onto states unconstitutional laws that states could otherwise nullify and were actually nullifying, especially in the South. So I completely object to the concept that the Supreme Court has the right to adjudicate on the constitutionality of congressional law. I feel like the remedy is state nullification, and that we know that's the remedy because there's no enforcement mechanism for federal law in the Constitution. There is no enforcement mechanism in there. The DOJ, FBI were created afterwards. But I have to tell you about this ATF guy. His name is David Achipman. And all I saw was it said, this guy is a 25-year veteran of the ATF. And I'm thinking to myself, immediately, first thing I thought of was 25 years ago, Oklahoma City was 25 years ago. And the ATF was definitely on the inside of that because there was an ATF there was an ATF office in that federal building, and they did not go to work that day. They like had a field trip or something. So I'm thinking 25 years ago, he was probably one of those Comey types, one of those like, you know, infants that they were just, or little teenage, whatever, like young newbie where they were like, this guy may be a genuine sociopath. Like the way he's reacting to this boy, he's a keeper. You know, I just always think that I'm like, if his first foray was into Oklahoma City, then maybe they knew right away he was their kind of guy.
Yeah.
So I went back. So, but all it said was 25-year veteran of the ATF. And I was like, I looked, there's no Wikipedia entry on the guy. I'm like, I wonder if he had anything to do with that. Holy cannoli. I'm glad that I hate being logged into LinkedIn. I don't even know how I have an account, but I am, I guess, logged into it. And they can track you. Like, they will tell the person who looked at that.
Yeah, I know. You can set a setting to where it doesn't do that.
Oh, well, I don't know. I stumbled upon it and opened it up, and there was all the information in its full glory, which I am pretty confident since I tweeted it out, it will be taken down ASAP. But this is what it said. I mean, you are not going to believe this. This guy... he was, let me actually read you the unbelievable blurb it says there. I have it pretty quick. So let me just pull it up. So it starts with the guy shows his resume, and it goes back like 30 years. He doesn't really look that old. First of all, he went to American University, which is where I think JFK got fingered because marked for death because of his last speech, which was at American University. This guy went, got a master's at what university would you think would be like a sure sign the guy is a deep stater?
Harvard, Yale,
no,
MIT.
Johns Hopkins. Yeah, okay. I know there's a lot, but Johns Hopkins happens to be the one.
I knew that actually, because this guy's mentioned in a story that I have today also. So
Okay. So he most recently is a senior policy advisor at the Giffords Courage to Fight Gun Violence Institute, where he focuses on ghost guns. So they're just taken away. Before that, though, he was an SVP at ShotSpotter. ShotSpotter, which I am telling you 10 years ago or 11, 9 years ago, I started talking about ShotSpotter, and I had all the freaking neocons saying, you know, it's really just for safety. ShotSpotter is where instead of just having cameras everywhere, they also have microphones everywhere. And it's in case, this is it, the whole world is blanketed with microphones in case a gunshot goes off somewhere. So that without someone calling it in, they can just zip over there. But of course, it picks up voices as well.
Yeah, Atlanta has this, right? I remember you talking about it.
I mean, it's done. Like, it's definitely unrolling. But it was shocking when it first came out. Anyway, so he was a longtime ATF guy. He was a fellow at... these kind of things make me absolutely insane and goes to the model law stuff. The International Association... of chiefs of police. First of all, he wasn't a police chief. And second of all, why the shit is anybody, is anybody in this country in an international association of chiefs of police? Why do we want to adopt international standards for something as local as the chief of police? Like Sheriff Israel was into that stuff too. And it really pissed me off. Sorry. Okay. Then he was ATF for like 23 years. Okay. Where are these things? You have to go back to his early thing. Okay. He was a special agent in the Houston Field Division. He was a case agent in the Branch Davidian trial. He responded to the Oklahoma City bombing as a member of the Western National Response Team. Boy, did I nail that. How I found this was that I just Googled his name and Oklahoma City. And I knew something would come up. And then I go to edit and find in this page. And then you find it. It was way down at the bottom. Special agent, Washington Field Division, where he was in. And this is another thing. I was like, oh, I wonder if he was in on that. The World Trade Center bombing response team from the Northeast National Response Team. So he happened to be in the Northeast National Response Team in 1993 when the World Trade Center 93 bombing, which was an inside job, we have evidence of that, actually killed people. And then he quickly moved to the Houston one, where he would be Johnny on the spot for the Oklahoma City one. And all that, I'm sure there's more, but he also was some honcho in overseeing asset forfeitures, which it blatantly states in his resume, was the oversight of assets forfeited as a result of a criminal investigation. I don't know if you're familiar with the asset forfeiture scandal. They take away your assets because they are investigating a crime you're accused of. You don't have to be convicted and you never get the stuff back. So it's, first of all, that's wrong.
They steal it from you?
Yes. And here's the problem. And there are federal incentives to locals for doing that. So you can do it just to get the money, because you get a VIG or whatever percentage, but you could also target something you covet. I mean, and they've done that. So we're like somebody, they'll say, oh, you're growing pot on your land. We're going to investigate this because the city wants to get your land and you won't sell it to them. Or you're asking too much, you know, like that kind of thing. It's a very horrible program. Horrible, horrible. I mean, it offends, it shocks the conscience, that program. So this guy, Dave Chipman, wouldn't be my top choice.
You know, I was thinking that they were talking about him in the article, one of the articles I brought too. I just looked at it. They aren't talking about him. They're talking about Merrick Garland, who also helped investigate Oklahoma City.
Of course.
Bring these domestic terrorism, the retreads back, who worked on issues, similar issues in the past, and they bring their experience to the future.
This goes to a question that Sam Shipley asked in the last Union of the Unwanted, which is, how do they get away with this? How many people are in on it? How do they keep it a secret? This stuff demonstrates that they have anybody who's in on it, who's like, they don't have to throw out of a helicopter, who actually gets through that first trial. They retread these people over and over and over again. And this is proof positive of that. That guy was in every one of those things. Merrick Garland was in a couple too. They just know the guys they can count on. They retread. That's why. Why would Bill Barr be the AG? Couldn't you get somebody who would give you a little more payola than Bill Barr? He was a has-been. But he was the guy who knew where the bodies were buried. He knew how to get that kind of stuff done. He was just the deep stater's deep stater.
Yeah, it's like they had these specialists for all the different issues, kind of like Stacey Abrams is a specialist in the voter suppression issue. And 20, 30 years from now, Stacey Abrams, we hadn't heard from her in a while, and there's another voter suppression issue that takes charge. We'll see her brought back and inserted into it. I feel like they just are a lifelong a handful of issues, and they're the guy you call. Maybe they see domestic violence that pops up on the news. Guy starts preparing his stuff. Honey, I'm going to be called in again here in a minute.
Like Garland's thing, it was domestic terrorism because OKC was supposedly the militia guys. So these guys do have a theme.
Absolutely. And that's Saul Alinsky talks about that. He says you find your issue, the thing that you are specialized in, and you champion that, and you become the person who everyone looks to every time that issue comes up. Man, that's crazy.
I know. I mean, this is just anybody who thinks there are two sides or two teams or they're not all on the same page or the same agenda is out of their minds.
They all got jerseys for both sides in their closet. It's just a matter of which one they put on.
The domestic terrorism thing, definitely it, like they are passing the baton from the Middle East stuff to domestic terrorism stuff. Not that they won't keep it going with the Middle East stuff. The Colorado shooter, bombing Syria, all that stuff is going to, you know, maybe they alternate. I don't know.
In a similar tone, the Biden administration is stepping up its federal efforts to combat domestic terrorism. They announced early on in his administration they were going to make that a priority. Over the past week, they have amped up that priority and they are weighing strategies that are historically used against foreign terrorist groups, which we know that's a way to subvert people's rights and subvert the Constitution by classifying them the same way they classify foreign terrorism. And they're doing it all on the basis of what happened on January 6th. So that continues to be the basis of a lot of future actions, similar to how Biden ran for president based on what he says he saw in Charlottesville in 2017. the attack, which that was also kind of a fabrication, the story that they based all of that on. Just these fabricated stories become the foundation of policies for years to come. And people hear them so often, they don't even question the fundamental assumptions, which oftentimes were completely made up. Maybe kernels of truth, but the takeaways were definitely made up. So here's what they're doing. The Homeland Security Department, they're making it a national priority, and they're going to be requiring 7.5% of the billions in grant funds to be spent in combating domestic terrorism. So part of their 7.5% of their budget now is going to be going to focus on domestic terrorism. And Biden's campaign said that they're going to try and establish laws that respect free speech and civil liberties while making the same commitment to root out domestic terrorism as we have done to stop international terrorism.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and you know, libertarians always said, like, don't do Guantanamo, don't do these things. You can't categorize these guys as outside the law, as enemy combatants. They are like pirates. They're privateers. You can use letters of marque and reprisal, but you have to stay within the confines of the Constitution. Otherwise, you're going to have a slippery slope where we do not recognize these fundamental rights anymore. And Bill Barr and now Biden are calling for that very line of thinking.
Absolutely. Here is a quick list of some of the measures they're going to be taking. They are going to be discussing with Congress the possibility of updating the criteria for the terrorist watch list to include more homegrown extremists. They are going to be considering a domestic terrorism czar at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. I'm so tired of this label czar. It sounds like a powerful being. It's so stupid.
They're autocrats. A czar was like the last of the autocrats.
Yeah.
Like a person with total power.
This is an interesting one here. They're going to be analyzing travel data, federal travel data, to trace the patterns of possible militia members and extremists, especially groups with increasing connections to Europe.
I actually think, oh my gosh, wow. So it's international, it's domestic, but it's international?
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
that's
it's
just
like
ridiculous.
QAnon rising in France
so
and other.
Domestic just means white, I guess, and not even white. Like, what is, you know what I mean? Like, there's a bunch of people of pure Swedish descent running around or something,
yeah.
You know, that they're doing this. But they are.
With that, they're going to be working with private media companies like Facebook and Twitter to spot the indicators of violence to prevent the backlash before it happens.
Of course. But yeah, pre-crime. But how can they include militia? Militia is a constitutional, I would say it's the only constitutional, I would argue it's a constitutional requirement, that it's like the only thing in the Constitution that is required of the states or the people is to have militias.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they
want to label those militias as the problem.
Yeah, there were state laws, probably like Switzerland, where you all were required, you know, not like a draft, but like everybody needed to be armed. I think,
right.
I'm pretty sure there were laws like that back in the day.
Listen to this aspect of it. It's related to mental health. The department's review is focused not only on clear acts of terrorism, but also on those who are pushed to commit acts because of a combination of mental health issues, grievances, and ideologies that provide a perceived justification for violence. So this is...
Say that again.
The department, the review they're going to be focusing on for the domestic terrorism, their amped up effort, is they're going to be focusing not only on clear acts of terrorism, but also on those who are pushed to commit acts because of a combination of mental health issues, grievances, and ideologies that provide perceived justification for the violence. Think about that. I mean,
this is all about pre-crime.
Really? Yeah.
It's all about profiling people as pre-criminals so that you can stop them before they start. And let me just tell you, hand in hand with this are these red flag laws that Merrick Garland's going to push down that deprive us of our liberties without due process of the law. They're going to say it's due process of the law because they're going to write a law that they're going to abide by. But the law that we're talking about here is the Constitution.
Right.
You get a trial by your peers before they're allowed to deprive you of life or liberty.
Yeah, and
that this
also
is setting it up to void that in hand in hand with the red flag laws, no doubt.
And they do try and give you a way out, which they are putting, I think, $77 million to train police officers to help them to share intelligence across states. So they're going to be trained to give all their data to this, other states and the federal government.
You know, who used to lead the charge with that was Obama and Eric Holder. And I did many shows on that. People were, back in the day, people were walking out of like the Department of Justice and stuff because it was such an egregious violation, I think, of the 1974 Privacy Act, but just the general principle that you do not want this kind of surveillance. It's, that is against the, what is it, the fourth and maybe fifth, but I think it's the Fourth Amendment, where you can't, you're not allowed to just surveil people and monitor them. They, right. You need to be looking for something specific for a reason that they're committing a crime and you have a probable cause and get a warrant issued.
Totally. And one final element of this, I have to throw this part in there, is they're going to be doubling the number of grants that they're going to give to organizations that are developing projects to research prevention strategies, including offboarding those who are vulnerable to radicalization, offboarding them. So
what?
This is the de-radicalization programs. This is the re-education programs that we're talking about. This article also talks about how far behind the United States is behind Germany in having a system of de-radicalization set up.
What is offboarding? De-radicalizing?
Offboarding is, say you have somebody who was into
QAnon. Get someone offboard instead of being onboard?
Yeah. Okay, you try to capture them as they start to question their QAnon beliefs, yeah. Maybe you try to capture them and offboard them into the accepted narrative before somebody else radicalizes.
Okay. Create apostates too. Maybe people who come and speak against it. Like I've seen some of those, you know, I escaped from Q.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like it's a cult, a mind controlled cult, which it isn't because it doesn't do those things that cults do, which tear you down and then build you up,
like build you back,
build back
up,
better.
Yeah, build you back better. So in our last story of the Free 30, we're going to talk about the White House's concern over the 1/3 of those in the military who are not getting vaccinated and what they hope to do about it. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about what we're going to talk about in the Patreon 15, which is about how vaccine marketing has hit a new high or low, depending on where you stand. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor of today's show.
I am super excited to introduce to you our newest sponsors. They are truly a product of the positive community that we are growing up through the Propaganda Report stuff, the live streaming stuff, the way that we interact through Patreon. I know people have problems with Patreon, but it is. And until we get thrown off, it has been a great platform for us. But we also do Disappearing Patron parties. We do Zoom parties. We actually have a listener-hosted Discord server who actually, by coincidence, it gave us a shout-out for today, so I'll get to that. But this is how our sponsors for today connected, Kat and Jackie. You might know them. And it's a very Propaganda Report because these girls are what I have coined pink-pilled. Pink-pilled, which is a combination of the red pill. You got your eyes wide open, but you also take the white pill, which means there is hope. And they have actually manifested this philosophy in a line of gear you have to go to their little URL, which is youareloved.store. Youareloved.store. Their inaugural product line displays these really sweet like mugs and thermoses and drink containers and t-shirts that really just tell you or someone you love that you are loved. They tell you these Kat and Jackie tell us to wear your heart on your sleeve with a t-shirt or drink up the love from a love mug. And for me, as soon as I saw it, if you go there to youareloved.store and you see the products, it just screamed out to me, Mother's Day. And then I thought, crap, when is Mother's Day? Mother's Day is insanely early this year. It is May 9th. It's the earliest I ever remember it being. May 9th. So I am going to send some of these things, an insulated mug, maybe a little insulated wine carafe thing, to my mother, my mother-in-law, sisters and friends who are moms who I love. And I want them to know, especially this year, that they are loved, even if It's not your mother, but the mother of your children. I think it's a great idea. So right after this, after the show, I'm going to go to youareloved.store and get my Mother's Day gifts out of the way, because then I won't have to worry about it. They'll definitely get there in time. And they're very sweet and thoughtful. They're really cute.
They are cool looking. I'm looking at them right now.
They really are, because Kat designed it. Jackie's got a mind for business, and they're putting it out. But it's very sweet. I'm very proud and happy that this really was born of our community. And in the true atmosphere of gratitude and respect in our little Propaganda Report community, the You Are Loved girls would like to give a special shout out to fellow proper Brucey for his inspiration and encouragement. So I encourage you to take the pink pill and go to youareloved.store, because you are loved.
That's awesome. They got a lot of great products over there.
So sweet. It's really nice. And I honestly think if I got that, like as a mom, I would feel loved. As a matter of fact, I wasn't going to tell this, but I want to tell you this. I love that so much that a year ago for Christmas, for my daughter, she takes Latin. I actually surveyed her various Latin teachers and asked them how to write "You are loved" in Latin, so that she would know it was just for her. And I had it engraved. You know, the silver bracelet I wear that I engraved, like, with my own little saying. I had one made for her that said in Latin, "You are loved," because I wanted her to know every day at school, if things get tough, you are loved. So I'm a huge fan of this. And they didn't know that. Kat and Jackie didn't know that. But I'm a huge fan of their sentiment. And I really think it's a good example of the Propaganda Report pink pill.
Yeah, I love the positivity of it. It's great. Fantastic. If you guys have not, go and check out thepropreport.com and do us a favor and register your email address so that we can include you in our low volume marketing list. It is so low volume, in fact, that we have used it zero times.
I'm working on it.
Truly low volume. Well, that's perfect. We don't want to overwhelm people. People already have enough stuff in their inboxes coming in.
I want to do a monthly newsletter. Sorry.
Yes. And Monica, we're cooking up a monthly newsletter. And more importantly, we're collecting email addresses so that in the event that we get deplatformed again, we will have a way to contact everyone and still get the word out about the show and other events as well. And our website has a few other cool little features also, like we have a continuous player of all of our free content. So if you're like my brother, who's a mechanic, who just likes to catch up on all the shows and turn on the continuous player while he works in the shop, then you can do something like that. We also have a interactive forum. So if you don't like Twitter, but you like the Twitter features, then you can go to thepropreport.com and go to the press pool. You click on the press pool feature and you can join like-minded Propaganda Report listeners and share headlines and engage in a variety of discussions with Monica and I, as well as everybody else in the community. It's a vibrant community, a lot of people with good ideas and good insights. This is at thepropreport.com. You click on the press pool to join in the conversation. And we also have the meetups tab where you can check in to see if there is a meetup planned in your area, or if you want to plan one in your area, you can do it there on the meetup tab. Go ahead, Monica.
We have one in Atlanta, April 18th at 2 p.m. at Neighbors Feed and Seed. And then we're going to do a little one in the suburbs of New York where I'm going to be. It's going to be in Rockland County. That's going to be Friday night, April 23rd. So I'll post the exact location on that meetup tab at thepropreport.com.
Fantastic. Yes, that is propreport.com. Click on the meetup tab and you can set that up. And also check out the merch page on thepropreport.com. You can pick up some of that Propaganda Report merch, like our extra large mug, our Propaganda Report stickers, or our high quality, comfortable fitting t-shirts. This is a great way to show your support for the show. Monica?
If you click on the shop tab, there'll be two links, one to our merch store, but also one to all of our sponsors' websites. So if you want to go to youareloved.store, just go to our shop tab at thepropreport.com and you can click through to their page.
Fantastic. And now on to our final story of the Free 30. The military is not as open or is not as excited about getting the jab as the media might have you believe, as one third of those U.S. troops have opted out of getting the COVID-19 vaccine. And apparently, according to the White House and the Pentagon, this is a threat to our national security. They don't believe, according to this article, this is out of the New York Times, is they don't necessarily believe that there are vast numbers of white supremacists in the military, but they are concerned about what they are calling a more insidious infection of extremism in the ranks, and how it shows in a shockingly high percentage of troops who refuse to take the COVID-19 vaccine. So that they consider troops not taking the COVID-19 vaccine as an insidious infection of extremism in their ranks. Think about that for a second. They consider it extremist not to just bow down and take their vaccine. They say it's dangerous to national security, and in an increasingly complex digital world, they need the troops to guard against disinformation, trust the data, and believe in science because it is increasingly vital on the battlefield.
Is that really what it says?
That's exactly what it says.
Trust the data and believe in the science?
Yes.
Are they not reading the stuff coming out of AstraZeneca? Above the fold today, Britain main vaccine hit by setback. They're telling people under 30 not to take it because those people are under no threat of death from COVID unless they're otherwise seriously ill. But they are under threat for this blood clotting, which they were denying the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens when something is not FDA approved. Emergency authorization is just that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really, I can't believe that. I guess they cannot force the soldiers to get it because it has not yet been approved.
Yeah, exactly. Listen to this. This is their words again. The troops' crisis of confidence in the vaccine is potentially a watershed moment in warfare. A watershed moment. For the first time ever, online disinformation is directly threatening the United States military readiness. And then they go in to talk about psychological operation. Yeah, right. So not taking the vaccine,
that's
not military readiness.
Actually, I read a public letter, an open letter that the History Homos guy sent me, saying that he's William from England, of a doctor who said, this is crazy. We have entire departments who are not showing up for work because they go en masse at lunchtime to get their vaccinations, and then they're all sick the next day. So if the chances of all the soldiers getting deathly ill from COVID at the same time has to be weighed against the pretty much common, extremely common side effect. I would say most people get really sick after that second shot.
Yep. Yeah. Well, here's the kicker of this article is that if we allow the disinformation to cloud the judgment of the service members and erode their trust in science, then we won't be ready for the next fight. And Russia and China, they know this, and they have online campaigns to sow doubt in our vaccines. So the Pentagon must step up and deliver a more aggressive campaign to counter that Russia and Chinese disinformation. And the first step is to just get the troops to take the damn vaccine. America will be stronger once they do.
I guess you don't get a promotion if you don't get vaxxed.
Perhaps. That's a good point. That could be where this is going.
I'll tell you in the Patreon 15 how the symbolism for I've been vaxxed really is flourishing. Flowering, if you will. So I have a couple of shout outs. One to Alex. Thank you very much, Alex, for your support. He's a new patron saint, the newest patron saint. And also our friend Justin, who I refer to in the sponsorship shout out. Justin wants to shout out the Discord server. Anyone who wants to. So this isn't for, you don't have to be a patron. You don't have to be on Patreon. Anyone who wants to can come join. They chat there. These are all Propaganda Report listeners. There are even subgroups for homesteaders and that kind of thing. They chat about everything from politics and life, funny memes, stories. And this is Ismkant. He's hilarious. He is, I mean, really, he should have a comedy act. He says it's just a chill place to hang. And he, listen to how this guy supports us. It's really amazing. Like, this is our friend from libertygear.net, so you should support him because he supports us so much. He bought a URL so that people could get to our Discord server more easily. It's dppdiscord.com because he always hosts an after party. So we have the Disappearing Patron Party. We're on screen. People are chatting in the chat, but then they can all go over to Discord and either talk or they can do it video wise. Anyway, that's dppdiscord.com. dppdiscord.com. And a generous one and a thoughtful one. So big shout out to Justin, he is truly a patron saint.
Fantastic. And you guys can find your Drive Time News Blast every weekday afternoon at thepropreport.com or your favorite podcasting platform with a Propaganda Report podcast feed. If you want access to the extra content that we drop every time we drop a DNB, go to patreon.com/propagandareport and become a patron. Or you can check us out at rockfin.com/propagandareport, where we do a deep dive video podcast deconstructions. We will talk to you guys in the Patreon 15 or tomorrow. Have a fantastic rest of your day.